Now let's look in Psalms 107. Begin to read with me in verse 23. Psalms 107, verse 23. They that go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters, they see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. For He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So He bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt Him also in the congregation of the people and praise Him in the assembly of the elders. You can be seated this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning. We thank You for the songs that have been sung. What a blessing. What a blessing to know there's coming a day. We'll trade our cross for a crown. And Lord, we're so thankful to be saved today and to know You. And we pray that for somebody here that's lost, that they'll come and trust You today. I pray You'll convict them and convince them that they're a sinner and they'll get saved. And Lord, we pray today for the one that has a need. There may be somebody here struggling. There may be more than one somebody that is struggling. They just need some help from You. And God, I pray that they'd find it in You. I pray You'd touch us and anoint us afresh. I pray You'd give us an unction from the Holy One, from heaven. And God, we just need You to come by and stir in our hearts today and do a work that we cannot do. These people didn't come to hear from me, but they come to hear from heaven. And Lord, I'm trying to hear from heaven, and I pray that You'd come by. Lord, we just want to be in the place where You want us at, and I pray You'd move in folks' hearts today. Give us the message now. Help us preach. We'll take in. We love You and save that sinner's nearest hell. For these things in Jesus' name we do ask and pray. Amen and amen. And the overall theme of this whole chapter, if you read it, is really talking about for the saint of God and that to rejoice and praise the Lord. As a matter of fact, if you look back at the very first part and that of the chapter, it said in verse 1, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good." Boy, ain't that a good statement right there. Ain't the Lord good to us today? It said, "For He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." And then verse 2 said, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." You know what I mean? You're to say that we're redeemed and that we're saved because the Lord is good to us. He has bestowed mercy upon us, but He has redeemed us out of the hand of the enemy. If there's any reason for you to get excited today and to praise the Lord, I think you're to be excited about praising the Lord. He said, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." I believe today that if you're saved, you're to say so. Amen. I think if God made a difference in your heart, brought you out of that miry pit that Psalms 40 talks about, and set you on a rock, that ought to stir something in you and excite you just a little bit. Amen. You don't have to go hog wild crazy unless you just want to, but you ought to say, "Praise the Lord, bless His name, I'm saved because of Him." Amen. That's what you ought to do. Revelation 5, I said, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." He was worthy to get all of that, and that's the glory from us today. Hey, the Bible said in Philippians 2 that God has given Him a name that is above every name, and that the name of Christ every knee should bow and every tongue should confess. Amen. Boy, He's a great Savior today, ain't He? Amen. But boy, I want you to look with me right here. In verses 2 through 9, He talks about those that walk in the wilderness in a solitary way. Do you know what the word solitary means? How many of you have ever played the game solitaire? That old card game. You know what you're doing? You're playing by yourself. And the word solitary means an alone, to be alone or not having company. And he talks about these people that are in the wilderness and they're walking in a solitary. Well, you ever been, seem like you're walking by yourself? You ever seem alone sometimes that you're just out there? Let me say, if you're saved, you're never alone. And boy, thank God, there's no song in the Redback book that says that. Never alone, no, never alone. Boy, thank God for that. But notice it said that they wandered about the wilderness and they found no city. And in verse 5 said they were hungry and thirsty and their soul fainted in them. And then they cried unto the Lord. And the Lord heard them in their trouble and delivered them in their distresses. I'm glad that when we're alone, when we seem alone, that boy, the Lord is with us. Boy, when Elijah was out in the wilderness under the juniper tree and he was alone, but yet the Lord was there. When he was in the cave down at the Mount of God, God come by in that still small voice and said, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" He was never alone, and you need to remember that. But if you're lost, you're alone today and need to get saved. In verses 10 through 16, notice it talks about those that are in darkness and in the shadow of death and are in affliction and iron because they have rebelled against God and against His Word and against His counsel, and they're brought low. But yet the Bible says that they cried out and God heard them and He brought them out. Verses 17 through verses 22, you'll find that fools, because of their sin and their transgression, they're brought low. But yet they cried unto the Lord and the Lord saved them because He heard them. This is a repetitive chapter, by the way, in verses 6, 13, 19, and 28. Basically say the same thing. It says, "Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses." Have you ever cried to the Lord in your trouble? Have you ever got down when you were in trouble? And you knew you was in trouble. I mean, nobody had to tell you was there. You was in trouble. I mean, when I was lost, I was in trouble. And boy, He heard me. But you know what? There's been some times since I got saved by that friend. I was in trouble and I needed some help. And I found myself crying out unto the Lord. And I'm glad He heard me. But then you'll find another four verses that are repeated. Now, verses 8, 15, 21, and 31. "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." And He talks about that praising Him. We ought to praise Him because He is good and because what He's done for us. But if I could focus on this passage that I read, the Lord kind of gave this to me late Wednesday afternoon, and then I got a little worried I was going to have to preach it Wednesday night. Lord said, "No, just preach what you preach." And listen, Wednesday night, if you weren't here, we had time in here. I got to preach out of the book of Mark over there, where the Lord come by and raised that boy that from the dead. Got to talk about the hope chest, how that the saved has a hope and that in Christ. But when I read this Wednesday afternoon, I come to that point over here in verse 27 of the place that they were. And it said that they were at their wit's end. And what that's talking about right there, your wit, it is your faculty of mind or your thinking or your soundness of mind. And He's talking about these sailors that go down in the deep and go out in the sea, and they make their job and they make their money by sailing, and they get caught in a storm, and they didn't know what to do, and so the Bible said they got to their wit's end. You know what He said? He said they got to the place where they couldn't think of another thought to fix where they are. They did not know what to do. And friend, that may be where you're at today. You may not know. You may be at your wit's end. And let me say that if you're lost and you're at your wit's end, you just don't know which way's up, you don't know which way's down, I want you to know that Christ died for you at Calvary. And He said in Matthew 11, He said, "Come unto Me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Boy, thank God for the rest of the Lord Jesus that He gives to unsaved people that'll come and call out and believe on Him. Amen. Boy, I'm glad of that today. I found rest one day. My boat's been turned upside down many times. I've wondered about a lot of things down through the years. But I'm glad to be saved. Amen. I know I'm going to heaven. I'm not dying and going to hell. He kept me from that. And boy, I praise Him. Amen. But I want you to look right here.
look at this scripture, maybe I can help you. The Lord, He's kind of confirmed this message this morning just from talking to a few people today. Number one, I want you to look with me, if you could, look at the sailors. Notice the Bible said that they go down to the sea in ships and they do their business in great waters. I mean, it was their job and that to do what they were doing. They understood the dangers, and they understood the great things about being a sailor. They understood about how that the sea could be smooth as glass. They understood what it takes to get from point A and back to point B. But they also had to know that at any moment a sea could get in turmoil and get in a storm. I want us to understand something as Christians. We get in our mind a lot of times, we wonder why we go through what we go through. We wonder why we go through the storms. Job said in Job 14:1, that man is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Job chapter 5, yet man is born under trouble as the sparks fly upward. Listen, living this life sometimes is just a troublesome time. And storms rise up in our life. Those sailors, see, sometimes if you're sitting in here and you've never really faced a storm, you know, it's like the buddy of mine that I've told you about sometimes, when he called me one day, and he said, my problem is, and you're talking about a man, who's got some age on him, he said, my problem is everything's always went good, and I've never learned to live by faith. That's what he told me. You know, when everything always goes good, you don't learn to live by faith sometimes. I'm not telling you everything's got to go bad to live by faith. I'm just telling you it seems that in our dark times and in our worry sometimes, that's when we learn to live by faith. It's easy to live by faith when everything's right. It's easy to live by faith when everything's, when the bank account's full and everybody's healthy and everybody's doing good. It's easy to live by faith like that. It's easy to pay your bills when you got X amount. And boy, you can get it all paid and you don't even look up. But I'm telling you, sometimes the Lord, He allows things to come into our life. I'm getting ahead of myself. But I want you to look what He said right here. These see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. Not only do they go out and they know the dangers and they know the great side of being a sailor, but they get to see the works of God out there in the deep. Think about what sailors see. You know, I've never been too far out in the ocean. I mean, Kelly, I think the furthest we've ever been out in the ocean, we took a little ride on a boat out in the harbor out there in Charleston, South Carolina. And boy, I mean, it was white capping that day. And we were standing down in the very bottom of the boat. And you know, it's a lot easier down in the bottom of the boat. That boat don't move too much down in the bottom. Reckon that's why Jonah went down in the bottom of the boat. You ever think about that? We went and stood. You know why? She suffers with vertigo. And I remember we could see out the windows. And the top of that boat was doing this. But you know, the bottom of that boat was moving like this. Wasn't too bad. Makes you wonder why Jonah was down in the hinder part of the ship down there, don't it? Don't move too bad down there. But listen, he said that they see the works of God. Imagine what sailors see out in the ocean. You ever think about that? You ever think about the animals and the creatures that they might see? I mean, now we've got all kinds of video that we can look and we can see, and got aquariums that we can go to. And you know, they said that they finally got a submarine that they believe to the deepest part of the ocean. And they said, we don't believe anything will be down there, but if it is, it probably won't have a whole lot of color on it. And so they got that submarine. Now, if somebody lied to me, then I'm lying to y'all, okay? So they finally got that submarine down there to the bottom, and they turned the lights on. And guess what? Not only was there living stuff down there, but it was all kinds of color down there. Ain't that just like the Lord? Ain't that just like the Lord to confound man and blow his mind and say, how is that possible to do those things? But it was out in the deep. You ever think about when you get out in the deep and you look up, boy, you can see heaven, can't you? You get away from now we got to worry about man-made light, and it's so much we can't see what's up there, and we don't worship the stars of heaven. I understand that. But sometimes it would do you good to look up and see the creation of God. What was it? For the firmament showeth His handiwork. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. If we'll just look up, we can see heaven and see and act the works of God. It's amazing. But here, do we ever see the works of God in our life, in serving Him? You ever seen God move for you? You ever seen God do something great for you? Ever got mesmerized at what God, maybe that's a bad word. Have we ever just got surprised, or maybe we were just taken aback that God was able to accomplish what He accomplished? Amen. I think sometimes we forget Ephesians 3:29, to Him that He's able to do exceeding abundantly above what we ask or think. Hey friend, He can do above what you ask, and He can do above what you think. Amen. That's the Lord. But the sailors, they could see the works of God. But notice in verse 25, we get to the storm. For He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. And they mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths, and their soul is melted because of trouble. So they go out, but now in the middle of this glassy sea, a storm arises. And I preach on storms from time to time because it seems like folk go through storms. Boy, didn't we have a dandy one just the other day? I was right in the middle of it. Driving right in the middle of it. Almost the whole thing. And the Lord kept me safe. I was telling these men on the front porch, I was driving, and I come by a house, and out in the middle of the storm, I don't know what they were doing. They weren't trying to tie nothing down, but they were just out sailing through their yard in the middle of a storm with it's blowing 90 miles an hour and the rain sideways, and they're just out there walking in the yard. Makes you wonder about people like that, don't it? We're always trying to get out of the storm, not try to get in the middle of it. Amen. How many of us want to be in the middle of a storm? You say, well, they don't worry me. I'm talking about a storm of life. You let that thing show up and tell me, boy, I don't mind being in the middle of one of them. Now, there's a great thing for the Christian. I'm getting ahead of myself. Hey, the Lord Jesus is always with us. And boy, I'm thankful for that. But I'm telling you, notice right here that while they're in their ship, while they're in their boat, I notice the storm comes up. For He commanded. Now, notice the Lord. It's Him that is in control. We find is that in Mark chapter Mark 4, where His disciples are on board with Him, and the storm arises, and He's asleep in the hinder part of the ship on a pillow. And the Bible said that they wake Him up and said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And He steps out on that boat and says, peace, be still. And everything just went. Now that's the power of the Lord Jesus. But notice that they're in the middle of a storm. Notice how big the storm was. Notice that it does what? It comes a stormy wind which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. So that ship, as they're on that boat, that wave rises up and that ship is pointed to the heaven. And then all of a sudden, the front end of that ship bottoms back out and it's headed down the other side of that wave. So it is up and then it's down. It is up and then it's down. It may get sideways and be this way and turn this way and go that way. But it's up and down. Have you ever been in the midst of a storm to where it just felt like it's up and down? Up and down. It was about to wear you out. It was about to, notice what it said right here, that what? It mounts up to the heaven, they go down again to the depth, their soul melted, because of their trouble. Out in the deep, is where the storm came. But their soul melts. Take your Bible and look with me in Acts chapter 27. We find the story of the Apostle Paul in the storm. Am I making sense to y'all today? Well, somebody said, okay. Look with me in Acts chapter 27. Paul has told them not to go. We can't go, don't need to go, shouldn't go. Don't need to be here. But they decided they know better than the preacher did. That'll get you in trouble. If I'm giving you the book and you decide you won't turn against what I'm preaching, that'll get you in trouble. If I give you my opinion, that's one thing. But if I'm preaching this book and you just rebel on that, you're just getting yourself in trouble, friend. I don't know anything else to tell you. I really don't. Look in verse 25. Is that where we need to be at? Nope. Look in verse 14, excuse me. Paul's told them not to go. They've decided to go. Bible said in verse 13, when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after there arose against it. Can I stop right here and say, if you actually look at that thing, they were sailing close by Crete. They were staying as close as they could, and that to the seashore, and that to the island they were on, because they were just going to sail from one part of the island to the other part. And I believe that they honestly wanted to stay within eyeshot of what they could see. They just had to launch out and go just a little piece. I believe it was like 50 miles is all they had to go. From one piece to the other is all they had to go. Wasn't that far? I mean, it wasn't that far for them to travel by ship. But it said in verse 14, but not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclodon. And when the ship was caught, now you need to remember that, and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Claudia, we had much work to come by the boat. Which when they had taken up, they used helps under girding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, a straight sail, and so were driven. And we, being exceeding tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship, and the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun or stars nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. Paul said, I want you to notice this storm and the shape that they've got into. Listen, I mean, here they are. They're tossed up and down. They're turned to and fro. And notice the shape that Paul's boat got into. He said in verse 16, much work had to be done by the ship. In verse 17 said they had to undergird. Notice right here, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship. They had dropped rope underneath that ship and fished it from one side to the other and tied it off and tied it together to hold this boat together. You ever felt like you were about to fly apart? You ever been in the middle of a storm and everything in you just felt like, I mean, you were losing your mind. You were at your wit's end and your little boat was just about to come apart. Ever been there? You may not want to admit that. I don't like to admit that. I'll tell you some reasons why. One, I don't want to think back to those times. I don't like to go back there. Sometimes that gets in a very bad place for me, and I do not like to go back there because I don't want to fall off into that hole again. Just being honest. But Paul said we took helps. And we undergirded that ship, and he said, we were afraid that we were going to fall into quicksand. He said, look, we're afraid we were going to get stuck out there. Well, they were running in shallow water at times.
Yeah.
And he said, we just let her drive. We just cut her loose and let her go. If you look in verse 15, that's what he said, could not bear up into the wind. We just let her drive. They couldn't function that. They could not handle the rudder. They could not handle the sail. They couldn't do any of those things. It was such a tempest and such a storm. I kind of think of it as like what we would call modern day hurricane. And said that we undergirded the ship. And he said that we just let her drive in verse 17. Notice in verse 18, they were exceedingly tossed with a tempest. Exceedingly tossed. Just wasn't tossed a little bit. They were exceedingly tossed. And he said the next day, they began to lighten the ship. Talking about those that worked on the ship, those that served on the ship. And he said by the third day in verse 19, he said, we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. He said by the third day it had got so bad that, man, all we're trying to do is survive. You ever been there in the middle of a storm? All you want to do is survive. Because you're afraid your boat's not going to make it. That may be where you are. I don't know. I want you to look at what he said. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us. See, no small tempest. He said, this is a great big storm. He said, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. Paul said, I looked at this whole situation. And buddy, I just didn't see no way out. That's kind of being at your wit's end. When you ain't got no more hope, and you don't see any way out of this thing, and this is going to be it. You ever felt like he's going down for your last time? Listen, I don't have to preach to you about how to react when things is going good. Y'all know how to react when things is going good. It's what we need to do when things ain't going good. And notice that the text verse said they were at their wit's end, that here that they had got in that storm, and they had reeled, no small tempest, and they were back and forth, back and forth. The text verse, they had got in despair. You say, you ought to be tougher than that. Okay. Okay. You let me know when your world is turned upside down. You let me know when the wind's blowing and it's blowing everything away that you own and you love, and it's beginning to destroy things. You tell me how much you'll keep a stiff lip and go on through it. You tell me to quit? No, that ain't what I'm telling you to do. I'm trying to tell you that life brings storms. And sometimes they get ugly. And sometimes they get hard. And sometimes they blow. And even though we're saved and even though we're kept out by the power of God, that does not keep us from going through them. Paul, we even find that it had been like 14 days. Think about that for a minute. 14 days they were caught in this storm. 14 days. They had not ate. They had fasted for 14 days. Can you imagine one day and one night being on a ship, but 14? You ever been in the midst of a storm that you just didn't think was ever going to end? Now, I'm telling you right now that sometimes it's not being sick. It's not being sick. I remember here a few months ago, right before Kelly got COVID, and they said I didn't have it. I wasn't sure if I did, but I was sick. And you know, after 2 or 3 days, I didn't think I was ever going to be well. That just ain't no fun. And then when you get into the fourth day and you're still sick, ain't no fun. And the fifth day, and then 2 weeks, and a month, and you just don't think you're ever going to get well. 14 days they were in this storm. And they didn't think, I can imagine they didn't think they was going to get out, because all hope that they should be saved was taken away. But we go back in that to the text verse. Here they are in despair because they're at their wit's end. Their soul is melted. But look what verse 28 says. They cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, and the waves thereof are still. We see the sailors and we see the storm, but now we see the stilling, the calming of the storm, how He stills it. I want you to look at something right here. Verse 28, it says, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble.
when they reel to and fro like a drunk man, when their heart, their soul has melted, they're at their wit's end, and the Bible said, then they cry unto the Lord. That kind of struck me funny when I read that. It says they go through all this, then they cry out to the Lord. Why do we wait till then? Why do we wait till we're at our wit's end and we can't figure anything else out? We have exhausted every opportunity. We have exhausted everything that we can think of. We have exhausted everything that we can try. Then we'll look up to heaven. Why don't we start out there? When we see the first dark cloud coming, why don't we just fall down on our knees and say, Lord, it's not looking good, but would you help us? I'm just like you are. I do the same thing. But he stills their storm. They begin to pray and they begin to cry out. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. In Mark chapter 4, the Lord stood out on the bow of the boat and said, peace be still. Become as still as glass. Mark chapter 6, his disciples is in the midst of a storm by their sail. And the Lord comes walking upon the water, and here's what he said. He said, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And then he got up in the boat, and there was a calm. Sometimes the Lord steps out on the bow of the boat and says, peace be still. Sometimes we don't see him right away, and he comes walking to us on the water, and he gets in the boat with us, and everything gets to be a calm. But I'm going to tell you, sometimes it's like Acts chapter 27. You know, after it said that all hope should be taken away, that we should be saved. You know what Paul said in verse 21? Boy, now here's a preacher's mentality. Don't ever forget this. But after a long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and have not loosed from Crete and have gained this harm and loss. I told you so. Well, that's what Paul's saying. He said, I told you so. I told you this is what was going to happen. I said that before we ever pulled up anchor and set sail, this is what's going to happen. Don't you hate no preacher when he does that? Verse 22. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. That's twice he said that. For I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. So even in the midst of our storm, he may not step out in the bow of the boat and say, peace be still. He may not get up in the boat with us and the storm cease. He may just send us some assurance that we're going to make it through the storm. The boat may get busted up. That's what happens if you read the rest of this story. They drive that thing into a certain island over there where a creek was coming out. And this is a big ship, you know. I mean, they drive that thing in there and wedge it and the front part stuck and the hind part's out there flopping around in the water and it busts up. And those that can swim, and the others came in on boards and parts of the ship. Do you know what the Bible said? And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. It happened just like God said that it was going to happen. Now let me say this. Let me park right here and just say it. You find one other time that, well, I won't say one other time, but another time in the book of Jonah when a man gets in the midst of a storm. And you know why he got in that storm? Because he rebelled against God. He would not go to Nineveh. Wouldn't go. Wouldn't go to Nineveh because that was the capital of Assyria. And those people hated Israel and been mean to Israel. And wicked to Israel. Jonah wasn't going down there or going up there to preach to those people. I heard a preacher preaching on that the other day. He got to talking about Jonah. You remember Jonah wouldn't go and
You get up, and you know, they repented. He went in there and preached that 40 days, God shall destroy Nineveh, and they all repented, they all got right, and they got saved, basically, if I can say it that way. And you get to chapter 4 of the book of Jonah, and you know what? You know what Jonah told God? He said, God, that's just like you. That's just like you. They repented and you saved them. And that's why I didn't want to come, because I knew that's what you was going to do. But Jonah ends up in the storm because of his rebellion. I hope that ain't where you are today, is in the midst of a storm because of your rebellion. Because I'm going to tell you what, the only way to get that storm to cease was they had to throw him overboard and then him swallowed by a whale. So they cried out to the Lord. The Lord heard them in the text verse. The Lord stilled their storm. Ain't you glad the Lord can come by and still our storm? He brought them out of their distresses. He made their storm calm. Ain't you glad the Lord can do that for us sometimes? Sometimes it's like with the Apostle Paul. Sometimes it's not that he makes it go away. He just gets us through it. 2 Corinthians 7, he said, for when we were coming to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without, we're fighting, within, we're fears. Nevertheless, God, that comfort of those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus. You know what? You know what Paul said? He said, you know how God comforted me? He sent me Titus. That's what he said. He said, God, in the midst of my fears and my partings, He sent me Titus. Ain't you glad God can send you some scripture? And God can send you some song. You ever just had a song? You know, when I was in the middle of that storm the other day, I left Athens and was headed back towards Sweetwater for just a little bit. And the whole time that I was driving, I never got worried. Never did. Never got, that truck got blown all over the road. Man, it was raining sideways. And, well, I didn't see no cows flying through there. Praise the Lord. But you know, the whole time I was driving, I was singing that old song we sing sometimes in Red Bay, the dearest friend I ever had. And I sung every part. Man, I sang the bass parts, alto parts, lead parts, tenor parts. I sang it all going down the road. And I sang every bit of it. When I got out and walked in where I was going, I was just whistling right along. I just sang the dearest friend. I figured he's the dearest friend I've ever got and I've ever had. Maybe that's where you are. Maybe you've come through the storm and God has stilled your storm. Some of you, I know what's went on in your life as you preacher. And other folks sitting here knows what's went on in your life. And they know and you know how God has miraculously come by and just said, peace, be still. And man, that thing laid down. And then other times He's brought you through it. The ship may have been battered. The ship may have been torn apart by the time you got to the other side. But you got to the other side. But notice what it says right here. We look at their satisfaction. As He makes the storm quiet, in verse 30 it said, then are they glad because they be quiet. So He bringeth them unto their desired haven. You remember being in the storm, you look back and you think about how you were and talk about all the turmoil that your heart hurt and I mean your stomach was tore up and your mind raced and I mean just everything just seemed like it's flying apart. And if you get brave enough, you look back at that time, you think, boy, I'm glad. One, I'm glad I'm not there now. And I'm glad for what Jesus done to bring me through that. What He brought me through. Notice it said, then are they glad. Because things are quiet. It's no longer turmoil, no longer tore up. They've been brought to their desired haven, a place of safety. Stay with me now. Psalm 27, He said, for in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me upon the rock. He said, I'll just be hid in Him. Psalms 143, He said, I'll flee unto thee to hide me. They cried out to God, and God hid him. So if God's done that, notice what He said in verse 31. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. And for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt Him also in the congregation of the people. And praise Him in the assembly of the elders. You know, when we get still and calm down, you know what we ought to do? We ought to praise the Lord. We ought to just praise the Lord. But in the congregation and in the assembly of the elders, he's talking about doing it in front of people. That changes things, don't it? We have you ever, some of you ain't never praised the Lord by yourself. You'll do that sometime. God opens your eyes on some things and let me stop for just a second. God don't even have to open your eyes on anything. If you're saved, you ought to praise the Lord. Amen. But if you look at the blessings and you count your blessings, you ought to praise the Lord. Every one of us, let me look around here. Every one of us has got it far better than what we deserve. We sung that old song in the choir this morning, I am blessed. My soul, we sing that as an understatement sometimes. Because let me say this. I sing it that way sometimes. I don't really think about when we sing that song, what God's blessed me with. I don't. Shame on me. Well, because I'm telling you, not only do we have a home in heaven, we've got a Savior. Thank God for that. But I'm talking about just down here, all the blessings that God has gave us. We've got it made, church. We've got it made. God's brought you through a storm. Boy, you ought to praise Him for it, but you ought to tell it. That's why I like it on, you know, Wednesday nights and Sunday nights. Sometimes we do it on Sunday mornings, but well, just to tell what God's done for you. Maybe what He's done this past week or month or year. You might want to say, boy, I remember a long time ago when I was... You don't have to tell the whole story. You can just say, boy, I remember when I was in a bad way and boy, God showed up. I will praise Him. See? David said in Psalms 103, bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me, I'll bless His holy name. Psalms 40, 147 said that praise is comely. You know what that means? That means it's right and it's suitable. I don't know what's going on in your life. You may be in a storm. You can cry out to the Lord. And I'll guarantee you, He'll help you. He'll help you. You may have come through the storm. And maybe what you need to do is just praise the Lord for Him bringing you through it. Let's bow our heads this morning.